PFT Media.
If you want to learn about the history of wrestling, give me a hell yeah!
Hell yeah!
There you go. One person. That's fantastic. Great. Pedro Lima, Dan Perella,
Serpentico.
Thank you, sir.
There you go.
Super producer Chris Crespo in studio. I love you, Don. My tag team partner still in studio.
Ryan, number one.
2 weeks later. He won't leave Florida. He'll stay here.
He just doesn't want to go.
I just have one thing to say, and the only reason why I'm saying it is so that I can be cemented as the number one guest. Like, I don't think anybody's appeared on this show as a guest more than me now.
No, three-time guest. You got the three-peat.
Four-time
guest. That just made his fourth
appearance.
He
was in two episodes. And
oh, that's right. Yeah. Ryan out.
Oh, there he goes.
Oh, he dropped the mic.
Please don't. That's an expensive microphone.
Oh, guys, this is a very special episode because right. This is something that is dear in our heart.
Love it.
The bond that me and Dan has founded has been been wrestling based.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the stupid things about wrestling and the silly things. The things that make wrestling
fun.
It's
the little things. It's the fun promos. It's making ourselves in Fire Pro Wrestling.
Yeah,
you know,
the things.
Still singing that. You still do that too. Absolutely.
Singing the Rougeau Brothers song.
Uh-huh.
From Montreal to Memphis.
Down to Parlez-vous Français.
Tell all the girls the Rougeau's on the way. I don't know about Dan. When did you start getting into wrestling, Dan?
I probably elementary school. I think that was it. In elementary school.
Was it WWE or WWF?
It was WWE. It was WWF. My grandfather was kind of watching it.
Okay.
And unfortunately, the first match I can remember was Undertaker and Giant Gonzalez.
Really? Wow. That was your first match?
There's only one way to go after that. Exactly. That's completely up.
Yeah.
So you're fine.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. That's actually the perfect match to start with.
Dude.
That's the first one I remember. And then, obviously, you know, I would watch some of the old ones as well, the old tapes, and I just got into it.
You got into old tapes and stuff?
Yeah. Middle school, I had buddies who introduced me to WCW, and that's when I got into WCW.
Okay, so that's probably where my problem starts, because my problem started in Puerto Rico. And I remember the first match I could remember was probably either Abdullah the Butcher versus Invader One.
Oh boy, which one?
Or
which match,
dude? Well, they always cycle the same thing
every weekend.
Every day. Yeah. Oh, it was Carlos Colon. But I do remember this.
Uh-huh.
Ugo Savinovich was wrestler / manager. At the time.
There you go. See, I started watching after Hugo. Like, Hugo was like, just stop wrestling.
He was just the...
Yeah, he was just a commentator, just an announcer, yep.
Okay, so you did... So, yeah, dude, all my wrestling... Like, WWF just like, wow. These guys are huge. But in Puerto Rico, if you want to see blood on Saturday morning...
Yeah.
That's where you went
to
see the card of Bruiser Brody... Like, all these big names would come out, but they there was nobody that was big. And that's why NWA became a big thing, too, which turned into WCW, because you would get guys from the NWA wrestle in Puerto Rico, and then you would see them on TV in NWA that later became WCW, like Ric Flair. I think the Iron Sheik came down to Puerto Rico a couple times, and he would do this stupid contest. He had this... Give me one of those, Ryan. Tag me in. As much as I hate that stupid grapefruit beer. It was this... you're Syrian. You should know about this stuff.
Are you talking about the exercise clubs?
Yeah, the exercise club. Yeah. And he would... like $100 to anybody who could do
it. Those are rough, man. Those are old school Iron Man type of exercises.
That's
Well, he himself is pretty tough. I mean, he's a former bodyguard of the Shah before the revolution. He was a tough character. And then afterwards, he helped train the U.S. Olympic team before he got into professional wrestling. So, I mean, yeah, he was a tough dude. He was not a joke.
He's not dead. He's still alive.
He's still
with us.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he still is a tough dude. Yeah. But yeah, but back then, yeah, he was tough. No joke. Like,
can I interview you? $70. Nah, that's okay. But come take picture. $40. Nah, I'm not going to take a picture. Give me $20. I'll take it from a distance. It's okay. So you got into wrestling.
So I can't pinpoint an age just because I've been literally surrounded by it my entire life. My dad used to be an independent professional wrestler. Oh, he was born in the Bronx. So he wrestled a little bit in New York. And then when he moved to Puerto Rico, he wrestled a little bit, got hurt, then got a big boy job. You know, so I can't pinpoint an age. I just know that whenever I can form a thought, it's always been in my house.
What time period did your father in Puerto Rico?
The 70s.
In the 70s?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So he had me in 84 or something. So after that, like, once he had me, like, he kind of, you know, calmed down and got a you know, family job and took care of the family and stuff like that.
But he always followed it and stuff?
Absolutely. So, you know, once a fan, you know, pretty much always a fan, especially if you're in it.
Right? Yeah.
So being that he was wrestling before I was even born, there's always tapes in my house. And every morning I wake up and he'd be watching wrestling. And, like, you know, and I eat my cereal next to him and he'd watch wrestling. And it would transition from, you know, IWA to WWC, and then to Superstars. And then I'd watch AAA and CMLL all in one Sunday. Right? That's how it was in my house. You know, it was a block in the morning and the afternoon on a Sunday, just all wrestling. So ever since I can remember, it's been surrounded by it. So it's been... Yeah, it's
and you've been ridiculous and you wrestle.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I've been wrestling professionally for 16 years.
16 years.
I was actually trained. Mm-hmm. I was actually trained in Puerto Rico. I moved to Florida when I was 21. It was a while ago.
Okay.
But I was born and raised in Puerto Rico. And trained under Ricky Bandera /
Oh yeah.
Muertes. Yeah. So he trained me, and once he went to AAA Mexico full time, I just moved up here to continue training.
That's crazy. Okay, so everybody has like a horror story when it comes to training and stuff like that. Is it as tough as they say?
It still is. It's I train guys now. You know, it's come full circle. So I do wrestle, you know, full time, and I train guys during the week when I don't have any wrestling the only thing that changes are the rings.
Yeah.
Right? The type of rings, but the training itself, like, you know, we're not meant to hit the ground with our backs or our faces or get punched in the face. Our bodies are not meant to do this. We have to become a giant callus. And it's a shock to anyone who starts, you know, training. And if you train the right way, you will train. It will be tough if you train the right way, right? Because that just prepares you for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the students I train now, I see me and them when they go, wow, like, sometimes this is great, it's fun, but it's also, you know, taxing on your body. And, and it takes a certain person to take that and just keep going.
Does your mouth starts watering when you get somebody in there that you're like, oh, this guy thinks
bad or good?
Yeah, like this guy thinks he doesn't really believe it, but he thinks he could be like.
So I have.
Is there a name for that?
I mean, cocky, I guess. I don't really think there's a not a wrestling term, but I know that because I've been surrounded by wrestling, you know, and training and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen everyone walk through those doors, you know, back at the TN3 Academy. I've seen all walks of life. You know, I've seen guys who don't look like they can lift a 10-pound dumbbell and are still wrestling to this day. And I've seen MMA guys who are just training at the gym that's adjacent to us, right? Yeah. And they train, they hear the bumps in the ring, and they go, oh, what's this? They go in, they look. I'm like, oh, I can do this. You know, this is all fake. And we put them not even through a ring. We could put them through our warm-ups, which we don't even – with our school, the way it's structured, you're outside of the ring for 2 hours warming up before you even get in the ring.
Yeah.
We put them through that, and they can even get through that. And then, like, okay, now that you're really tired, get in there and see what you got. And they last maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and then – never see him again, right? Those are the best.
Awesome, right? Do you guys keep like a notch and stuff like that?
Oh, we used not anymore. Yeah, it's been too long.
So it does happen.
The school's been open for 10 years, you know, so it's hard to keep track.
It's I always say, like, between wrestlers and stand up comics, we make the least amount of money and trying to do something we love.
Oh, how many stand up comedians have we seen pass through doors?
That's actually a very good analogy. Yeah.
Because one of our friends, I remember we went we saw him wrestle. Dan's always been involved in wrestling, so I get to go to a show, and I just asked him how much you're getting paid for this. And when he told me the amount, dude, I was like, what?
Yeah. Actually, I was not paid for the first 5 years of my career.
Mm-hmm.
Five. Yep. Which is, I mean, when you're young and starting out and you want to get somewhere, that's all you've been surrounded by. I'm like, okay, I'll do it. You know,
you but you
get
ring time, yeah.
You get somebody off the street that has, you know, a quote unquote big boy job who gets paid, you know, 5-6 figures a year, and they're not going to leave that for this, right?
Yeah.
But I was the opposite.
This is what
I've always been surrounded in. You know, I thankfully now, because I've been in it so long, this is what I do full time.
This is your big boy job.
It's taken 16 years to get here.
Yeah.
But I understand when somebody, you know, is in 2-3 years and like, you know, I'm not making ends meet. You know, I have a family and I have kids.
Right.
I totally understand the frustrations. For as long as I remember, I just had dogs and cats, you know?
You can buy them some dog food, leave them on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
a lady that feeds a cat out
But yeah, wrestling is very, I mean, wrestling as a whole is a very thankless job, right? We're first and foremost, yes, it's physical, but we're entertainers.
Yeah.
But a lot of people think we're rich just because you do this. And like, I wish that was the case because I would be the happiest person on earth. Right? But yeah, a lot of my students, I warn them, like, the wrestling's changed since when I started. So you can get your name out there way quicker now than you can, you know, back 10 years ago. Because Twitter, Facebook, my match can be
social media.
My match could be across, you know, the planet in 10 seconds after I'm done. They just upload it immediately. Everything is fast tracked, right?
Yeah.
Your dues, quote unquote, are fast tracked, just your matches, everything, your learning, even your pay structure. You know, I have kids who started wrestling 2 years ago who are getting paid for what they've been training for rather well.
Right.
When it took me 5 years to get $30,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, just saying
and that's the new thing has helped you too, because that the Serpentico name has taken off pretty quickly.
Oh, and it's all 100% because of social media.
Mm-hmm.
I post a picture a week, it looks really cool. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten more bookings out of just the way I look. Then, you know, I've gotten bookings because I posted a picture. Oh, I want a rehearsal for me. I'm like, good thing that I can, because what if I sucked? Right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've gotten booked just because the social media. I just put out some vignettes and some videos and pictures, and you know, it's worked out wonderfully. Yeah.
And I think a lot of all these independent wrestling things that's happened, especially I think PWG's
been, you know,
has great, been,
YouTube. And then NXT coming to Orlando has been a big boost, I think, and just in general.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And then I think they're doing like a special wrestling event here in a couple of weeks, and they got a couple guys like Alex Cobb.
Jeff Cobb. That's MLW. Cobb, that's actually next Thursday at the Gilt Nightclub. Yes.
Yeah.
I wrestled for them last month, actually. Really, really
fun. Oh, really?
Really fun.
Yeah, promotion. Dude, I saw that, and I was like, Jeff Cobb. Dude, Jeff Cobb to me is freaking amazing. Dude, the guy is built like a tank.
Mm.
But the dude can still, it moves like a gymnast kind of thing, and strong as hell.
The very first time I met Jeff Cobb, he gorilla pressed me outside of the ring. The very first time I went, hey, nice to meet you. I'm John. Hey, I'm Jeff. Bye.
Really?
Yeah. Nicest guy ever, but you don't want to mess with him at all.
It was at the airport.
Yeah, right just there. That's what I do on my off days. Right?
All right.
So you've been training a lot of females?
Absolutely, yeah. I've been training. Yeah, yeah. There's actually, our school has a really high female wrestling rate.
Yeah.
And actually, two of them got signed recently by WWE. So it's actually
nice.
Really good. Yeah, yeah.
All right, can you say names?
One of us, the first female referee, you know, that in this era, anyway. Right? Jessica, you know, Jessica Carr, she just got signed recently.
Right.
She's done some NXTs and she works full time for them. And then Trish McNair. Who's about to report for them very soon.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
she
yeah,
just
yeah.
had a tryout 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and she aced it. So, yeah, they produce, you know, that school's produced a lot of, like,
and what's the name of your wrestling school?
Well, it's not mine. It's Team 3D Academy. It's run by
Dillon,
but yeah, Dilly Boys. I've just been there for so long. I was kind of just grandfathered in. I'm like, hey, so when we're not in town, do you want to, you live 5 minutes away? I'm like, yes, I'll do it.
Nice. We'll give you the keys.
Yeah, I pretty much got keys and got a free ring membership and gym membership. So that's all. It works out in my favor. Got a sweet side gig, get paid for it. Can't complain, honestly. Not at all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when Dan was telling me, he's like, you want to talk Puerto Rican wrestling? He's like, dude, we can go all day talking
absolutely. Puerto 100%. Rican wrestling
there. Pedro's the one who introduced me to Chicky Starr.
Chicky Starr,
and
Star,
I fell in love with the man.
I was actually, and it doesn't sound creepy to say, it was actually on his Facebook. They're just scrolling through his videos, just going down, just... Right. Even the promos that he did back then were awesome. Even today, I don't know how old he is now, but he still cuts great promos.
Dude,
great. I was on his Facebook just scrolling down like this.
He
this guy.
Wants one more match.
Yeah, and he's, oh man, he doesn't care if
Puerto Rico has no.
He doesn't care if Puttaker has no power. He doesn't care if there's no like water. Right. He wants this match before everyone retires or moves on.
He gets on other people's podcasts and he'll cut a promo against the like he wants them in. The dude sells coquito on the side.
He sells coquito and he delivers them himself. I saw the I saw the advertisement. It's him doing, you know, the cheeky star pose, and he will deliver it himself. He every morning that he does deliveries, he goes on his Facebook and Facebook Live, and he says, "Hey, these are the cities I'm hitting up. Please hit me up before 12 because I'm leaving at noon. So just hit me up." It's like
wow,
it's awesome.
So the guy's great.
Yeah,
the guy is. It's honestly,
I want to meet him so bad.
He's, I mean, he's a nice dude too. Yeah. Like very nice. Like I was just mortified of him when I was younger because my Cheeky Star to me was just the crazy guy with a baseball bat who always bleeds, right?
Greatest heel, dude. Yeah. He was the best heel.
Yeah. Well, you told me about the interview things that he did, and I loved it.
Where I was telling you what the interview thing, what Cheeky Star would do on the interview thing. You know, he does the interview in Spanish. You don't speak Spanish, right? So you'll say your thing in English, and then he'll translate the complete opposite of what you said. So you're saying it's like, I can't wait to go in there and beat so and so and stuff like that, and he'll be like, "Yeah, what he's saying is that he's terrified of his life. He can't wait to leave the island, and he's a coward inside, and he hopes that all the Puerto Rican people can realize that, so that way he can leave the way he should with the tails between his legs."
That's what it is.
Fantastic. So, and one of my favorite wrestlers, sadly, is Invader number one.
I mean, everyone say sadly. Like,
sadly. Sadly, because he also stabbed one of my favorite wrestlers in real life.
I mean, if we go by that criteria, I guess. I guess it might be a bad thing.
Yeah.
But I will say I have met him. He's never stabbed me, so, you know.
Congratulations.
Good job, man. Yeah, I met
OJ before. He didn't stand.
There you go. Like, yeah, I met him. You know, I met him after this happened. So, you know, we were in a public setting. So
that's even better. Yeah, he's a known stabber.
Yeah.
Don't get him in the showers.
No. I guess
don't
not.
Don't tell him you don't want to do that finish.
It's crazy. To this day, like you mentioned that back home, and it's like. There's always one person in the corner. Just leave it alone.
No, you know,
you just can't. Like talk
everybody
about it.
Knows about it.
You just can't talk about it.
And just
that's it.
Let it be. And but yeah, dude, it was like I remember Bruce. I showed you my favorite Bruce.
Oh, the Hello Puerto Rico one.
That's my favorite. We used to have so much fun with that. But a lot of wrestlers went through Puerto Rico, and Roddy Piper got stabbed in Puerto Rico.
I believe it.
No, that really happened.
But, no, I believe it.
I'm assuming. Yeah, that's the thing that probably happened.
I'm sure it was his fault.
Yeah, I was going to say.
he probably egged it on. Yes.
Yeah. It's probably more because it was Roddy Piper, not because it was 100%. Puerto Rico. Yeah,
absolutely. I'm getting tagged in for a story time. Okay. Here we go. Tag me in.
Well, thanks for setting that up, Pedro.
It's better be good now.
You mentioned that you were going to ask him about ring accidents, and so I was kind of waiting for it to come around naturally. But
So we were forcing the topic? All right, I'm here. I'm ready. Let's go.
So I used to work with this girl at Discovery Cove named Petra, and she went on.
This is the Invader story. I'm just going to do this to this. I know Petra. Yeah, you know Petra? Yeah. We actually trained like side. I was training
for TNA.
What's that?
She wrestled with TNA.
I don't remember that happening, but yeah. I remember she trained her at school. Now she may have, but it's been years ago.
Really hot. Big, like 6 foot, 6 foot one, something like that.
Blonde, you know, very, very pretty. Very pretty.
Anyway, she told me the worst accident. Like, she, this hurt me when I heard it, that she said that she was in the ring, something happened, she gets slammed, and she popped a titty implant.
That's probably a thing. Yeah. Yeah,
I've heard that story from.
Has to be painful.
ODB. ODB.
Yeah,
she had the same thing. She had implants.
That's crazy.
And it popped, and it's. Yo, that's.
Accidents happening in the ring is kind of just like one of those
things.
You have to accept.
I just saw Sting was talking about a bit. An angle he had with Ric Flair where he had to climb a cage and he blew his patella.
That's
His leg was just like dangling, and Ric Flair didn't know that he blew his. And people are like, "Don't go after Sting; he's hurt." But he didn't know, and he just went. He jumped on Sting, and they're yelling like, "No, no, 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 no!" During the whole pay per view thing, I'm thinking about the the most gruesome injury I ever saw was on Glow.
Yeah,
one of the cheerleaders, which was a tag team thing. was doing like a handstand, and her elbow just like.
No, that's nice.
That's oh so.
That actually recently I was tagging with a friend of mine in North Carolina for PWX, and the match was great. You know, she's actually Diamante Angel Rose from TNA, uh-huh. And the match was awesome. It was going great. Everything was great, and then of course the last 10 seconds of the match, she does a drop kick where she just lands a little awkwardly on her arm, and I hear the bump. And bumps sound a certain way when you land the right way, right?
Yeah.
When there's a thud, you didn't land the right way. So there's a thud happening. I'm waiting for something specific to turn around, but nothing happens. So I turn. She's holding her arm. I'm like, oh, what's wrong? So I step over. And she goes, my arm. And she points, and her elbow's dislocated. And I can deal with blood.
Yeah.
I can deal with stitches. Mm-hmm. I just can't deal with bone protruding from, uh-huh. from skin. Really? Right. So I look at her, and I see that. I'm like, I'll be right back. I have to finish the match. So I know I went over my buddy Jason Cade. I'm like, I don't take a stunner. Ah! And, finish happens. Go back to her. I'm like, we need to get that checked out, but I can't touch you because I might just hurl all over.
I remember me and my brother were watching Raw one night, and we saw Eddie Guerrero when he dislocated.
The famous pin me, I'm hurt spot. Yeah. I've said that a lot of times. Pin me, I'm hurt. Let's really? Go. Yeah,
done absolutely. A couple of times. Yeah.
Pin me, I'm hurt. That's it. We're done. We're done here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure there's been like renegade kind of thing. Is there any historical renegade, like kind of like the match was supposed to go this way, but then the guy just said, F it, we're going to do it this way?
I mean, there's been plenty of examples. I mean, the most famous that I know of is the one where Regal shot on Goldberg for the entire match. Yeah. It was supposed to be a squash, and he was like, nope, we're going to make this a catch match for like 7 minutes, and I'm going to make you look stupid.
So it was supposed to end quick.
Yeah.
As a Goldberg match. Yeah.
And then he goes, like, yeah, no, we're going
to... And Regal was like, let's see how long you can go, buddy.
Really?
Yeah. So I know that one. That's the one that like
the WCW time, they were just like... It's just like the lunatics running the asylum type deal.
I mean, there was a lot of politics back there. A lot of people had power, and you know, too many cooks in the kitchen type of deal.
More was. Like I listen to because I travel so much. Like I music bores me now, so I listen to podcasts. I need to listen to people talk and give opinions. Just music is like the same to me, so it's drumming, yeah. Right? So I listen to a lot of wrestling podcasts. Like Tony Schiavone's podcast is amazing. You know, if you've heard
that. I didn't even know Tony Schiavone had a podcast.
It's called What Happened When. It's really fun, really informative. Of course, I grew up during the era that he was on TV. Right. So him retelling these stories but from a perspective of, you know, telling what really happened, you know, backstage and why everything was the way it was. It's eye-opening how that company ran for so long. Mm-hmm. It really did. And I have no idea how to run a company, but I can tell you that given the budget that they had and how they misused those funds, it's crazy how they... I mean,
everybody wants to be the top guy.
Yeah, everyone does, I guess, right? Yeah, but it's crazy. Like just listening to his stories, I'm like, this is real life, and this is a lot of money, and this is real money that just, you know, it's crazy.
But it was sort of working for a while because they were...
Absolutely.
They did have legitimate Monday Night Wars and a lot of fun.
What happens is you get comfortable, right? And mm-hmm. just like anyone in wrestling, mm-hmm. like a lot of people just get comfortable and they coast. Yeah. And then while you're coasting, that's when people are right behind you, right?
Yep. Yeah. You think your idea is great, I'll just keep right on 100%. This one.
And it might be great for a while, but, you know, people change, mood change, climate changes, yeah. like policies change, politics yeah. change, everything. Yep. Everything affects, you know, everything.
Right? Mm-hmm. 100%.
Man, I had a question and I completely lost it.
Okay, get out of your brain.
Hot tag, Dan.
There you go. There you go.
Okay. So,
oh, here's
oh, he's back.
Tag himself. Tag himself back in. Slap you on the back.
This is when you turn on him.
Yeah.
You
know?
I'm doing the test of strength. I just went weak, and I'm like,
all right. What you got? What you got on us?
No, go ahead, Dan. Sorry, I got nothing. I got nothing.
Oh, this poor guy.
Damn it! I just had it.
He's sweating.
Let me. I don't want to lose this question.
So you've done some Mexican wrestling, right?
Yes.
What's the mentality there for the audience and everything like that? Is the audience different than Americans, or how do they?
So it depends. Honestly, it really depends on the promotion.
Okay.
I realized when I first went to Mexico, it was for a promotion called DTU.
All right.
So a little smaller regional promotion, but they do tours, like 2-3 week tours. And I went there for a week and a half with a couple of friends. And they brought us in to work our quote unquote American style.
Okay.
Because right? Lucha Libre, to the untrained eye and to the trained eye sometimes, is just a lot of just
guys running around jumping.
100%. And to this day it still is like that. Yeah. Right. And they
That's one thing I couldn't get about right. Mexican wrestling.
I used to watch it on Sundays.
Dude, they're all over the place. Like, yeah. I didn't know who's the legal guy. They just 100%.
And, and it's beautiful. It's great to look at. I mean, and they brought us in to work our style because they want their guys to acclimate to our style just in case if they do come, you know, overseas, they come here. And then a lot of people don't know how to work that style over here. So what happens is a lot of those luchadors, unless they work them the same luchadors, they'll fail.
All right.
Because they have no one to base for them, no one to run that the same way they run back home.
Right.
So when I went over there for DTU, the crowd was acclimated to our American style. They liked our quote-unquote, they called it the luchas, like strong style, which I guess it got lost in translation for them. But what they wanted was legit hard-hitting.
Okay.
They wanted spots, but they didn't want like back and forth just runners for no reason running in and out. They wanted structure. They wanted
a story.
They wanted a story. But they at the end of the day want us to fire up and then just you know they like the super kicks and they like the Canadian destroyers and stuff like that. And then because of that, I got booked in Crash in Mexico and in Tijuana. So that crowd was more akin to they do like the Lucha Libre style. They really like it, but they're really really like Americanized, right? Okay. So the Crash does have their stories. They do have their Lucha Libre matches, do have their spot, quote unquote spot fans, stuff like that. But their stories behind it, right? And at the time, Conan was running Crash. Okay. He's not there anymore. He's running Arrow Lucha now. But Conan's running the Crash, and I agree with his sentiment. Was he wanted to little step away, not take away Mexico's tradition, but step away a little bit from just the rampant, just high spots rolling in and out, and just keep doing and give matches structure so people who are watching for the first time can understand, like, okay, I understand what's going on, even if they really don't.
That was my biggest problem, I think, in middle school watching CLL and AAA. I was like, okay, so they pinned them. Wait, the match is still going on? Correct. What's happening here?
Right. And don't get me wrong.
Is it 2 out of 3 kind of pace?
Right. It depends.
I had to figure it out on my own because I could understand the announcers.
And some Lucha Libre promotions in the States operate under Mexican rules. You know, I do one in Mucha Lucha.
No
Atlanta,
rules.
Right. And they, you know how, I don't know if you guys noticed that Lucha Libre referees, their counts are very slow. They have the same cadence as American referees or Japanese referees.
Slow poke Rodriguez.
I got it. But, and that over here doesn't really work because we need to create drama on those pinfalls.
Right.
Over there, a match can end on a weird submission and then the match keep going anyway because that's the second fall. There's no real drama.
Yeah.
Over here, we don't have that. So I'm doing lucha shows over here and I'm still trying to work because it brings a lot of Hispanic fans, but it brings a lot of American fans too. So I try to work with matches where I give them a little bit of both. I give them the high spots where, oh wow, it's really pretty. Here's a picture shot. Oh, it's great. Great for replays, but I try to give them a story too.
Yeah.
You know,
serious question. When you were in Mexico, did you ever check out a donkey show?
No, didn't have any time. No. Just
really?
From the show to tour bus.
You checked that out. Somebody gave us a story about a donkey show once.
Why did we even have that on our show?
Yeah, we did at one point. Somebody told us about that. Really? They said they no curiosity?
No curiosity.
We booked somebody.
He's already got the locker room.
Really?
That goes on
honestly, I'm sick. It's that craziness.
No, I mean, I will say Mexico is...
Some guys have gone. So you know guys
I'm assuming people have gone. Yeah. Lucha Libre has spanned, you know,
The drama and...
He's giving me the invader one story. don't bring it up.
The drama and the theatrics and ridiceousness that happens backstage of the wrestling
show is greater than enough. This is...
Yep.
I need to go home.
Dude, I hear the stories when Dan does these Comic-Con.
Yeah. And mine's just the play, the dress-up one.
And yours is actual, like...
So imagine... Yeah.
No, I know. There was one of the wrestling thing guys. The guy wanted to... I guess he didn't want to stay to the whole thing, so he wanted his match to go there because he had to babysit a dog.
That happens all the time.
A lot of people go up early to take care of some stuff. Yeah.
You know, like...
We move matches around as we need to be.
But it just felt like the guy just didn't want to be around.
That also happens. Yeah.
So it's just like comedy kind of thing. I hate to compare it because it's a whole different thing, but when you're teaching your students, do you let them know... I mean, and pretty much everybody has to start in the bottom.
Yep.
But you're going to get some guys that they think that they're top shelf kind of thing. Yep. But you got to be like, no, you're going to eat shit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. It's like, honestly, like any sort of form of entertainment, you're not going to shoot up straight to the top unless you have something completely that separates you from the pack. Doesn't mean that you, if you think that separates you from the pack, doesn't mean that you really have it.
Yeah, but just like again, the only thing I can relate it to is comedy.
Well, I
there's a lot of delusional people.
Right, and there's a lot of delusional people in wrestling too. Like comedy is a perfect example. Yeah. Like a lot of comedians eat a lot of crow for years and years and years, right? And
then but they never get better. No.
Right, well, some people do. Yeah, some people don't get better. That's like a... Right? Or some people have a certain type of comedy that's okay for a few years, and then it gets a little bit old, and then it doesn't work anymore, right? No. So wrestling the same way. Like, wrestling, like, there are some people who grind for a while and never get better, or some people that do adapt and see what's going on and are really good at acclimating themselves to the outside world.
Uh-huh.
And they are able to move forward. We get a lot of people that think they're, you know, for lack of a term, hot shit.
Yeah.
And some are.
How do you bring them down? Like, what kind of things do you guys do?
Honestly,
squats to death.
No, I mean, anyone can squat until they're really tired. Okay. Right? And sometimes people don't get tired of squats, or maybe their forte because they have giant quads and they're genetically gifted, right?
Yeah.
I personally.
Ryan.
When people like that, the more I wrestle and the more I teach, the more. My way of teaching changes. The older I get, you know, because I used to be one of those kids. Yeah.
You gotta adapt.
I was very athletic in school and very athletic in wrestling class. And not that I would thought like, oh, I'm great at everything, but I was really good at moves. So I would do a move and not have to like redo it a billion times. So that came off sometimes as cocky, right? So I can't get on somebody for doing something well. Right. If he doesn't, he's naturally gifted. Mm-hmm. Now, if he's naturally gifted and has a giant dick about it, I'm like, okay. Before we just get him in the ring, we call stretching. Not everyone knows how to mat wrestle. Not everyone knows how to put on a hold, get out of a hold. We'd be safe with him, but we put him in a hold. We crank it up a little bit more than it should be. We let him go. We crank it up again. We put him in different holds so the person can realize, okay, like, I don't know as much as I thought I knew.
That's too hard. It's too hard, kind of like stretching.
That tough, but yeah. But nowadays, because my way of teaching has evolved, my way of like understanding how people approach us and approach wrestling, now I just pull them aside. I just talk to them first.
Yeah.
You know, before I wouldn't talk to them. Get in there. Let's go. Give me your ankle. Now I'm like, all right, let's talk about it. What's wrong? What do you think? Why do you react like this? And sometimes they give me a valid reason. Like, well, I'm sorry, I didn't realize this was like frowned upon, because wrestling is very, very weird. Wrestling, I've never been to a place where if I don't shake one person's hand, I can heat for life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I go to an office building. I don't have to shake everyone in that office's hand. I go to the person I have to see. Hey, very nice to meet you. Here's what I did today. Thank you very much. See you tomorrow. In wrestling, if you go to a locker room and do that and just go straight to your opponent and leave, you're just considered just a bad apple, right? Because you don't care about anybody else. Wrestling has a lot of things like that.
And the type of handshake, too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
There's a
type of handshake.
Yes. Like,
hold on. What type of handshake? Okay, this is... Regular handshake.
Yeah, I mean, regular handshake. That's all I want.
Okay,
a lot of people.
I think it's the same thing. This is the type of handshake.
Yeah, do it to me. I won't do it to you. Yeah, that.
Oh,
that one. Little limp wrist.
I was just.
It's called the short change.
Is that what it is?
A wrestler was just complaining to me about that. In wrestling, when you meet someone and they give you that kind of handshake. And what it means, he told me, maybe you can tell me if this is right or not. If you get that limp handshake, it means don't be stiff with me in the ring. That's how he interpreted it.
I always heard that was the code.
Mm-hmm.
But again, wrestling has evolved.
Yes.
People have evolved.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
I personally think giving me that limp wrist just is a sign of disrespect. You know, I don't think, you know, like, because sometimes when people tend to do that. I just really squeeze their hand. Yeah. So make them look like, oh, what's going on? I'm like, just shake my hand. Like a regular person. Like, no one taught you to do this. Uh-huh. No one in wrestling, especially nowadays, 2017, 2018, no one grabbed you by the shoulder and went, this is how you shake someone's hand. And you don't do this. You shake hand like a normal human being, mm-hmm. whether it's a girl or a boy, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. I do it like Trump and Macron shaking hands.
Come to me.
Yeah, you pull a woman closer.
You yank them.
Yeah, right? So I've had so my weird. Fair share of like, you know, limp handshakes and like, all right, whatever. Sometimes I just slap their hands and like, oh, we're done here. You know, nowadays I just big hearty wave to locker room because I wrestle with a lot of the same people. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter across the country, which is awesome. You know, I see.
Now you can wave and that's acceptable?
Because I've been wrestling for 16 years, a lot of.
Oh, there's a badge.
100%. Oh, boy.
He knows most of them by now.
Yeah, I know most of them, right? So I go to MLW, I go to PWX, I go to in Texas Wrestle Circus. They're mostly all the same guys.
The particular wave you have to give. You can't do anything like that.
They have to do just that. Big old, big hearty wave. Hey guys, right. I'm leaving. Bye.
Yeah.
It's funny because I have that talk with my daughter mm-hmm. about handshakes. Because I've heard a lot of things. All right. So when I go for a handshake, you know, we go straight. Yeah. Straight like right. this. I've always learned when people give a handshake and they twist it's like
dominance.
This.
It's a dominance. It's a dominance. You
twist it. Right. And then if they put your hand on your shoulder, that's another dominance thing. So you got to cancel it out by you putting the hand. Dude, it's a whole kind of
I've also heard the shoulder hand, but the dominance thing I have like people have done like, why are you twisting my hand? Stop being, you know. Like,
and then give me your ankle. Japan, have you?
No, currently still trying to get there. Is that, you know, it's definitely go 100%, especially with this morning I saw this year's Wrestle Kingdom.
I can't wait for Saturday.
It aired at 2 a.m. I got home too late, but this morning, first thing I woke up and just watched
it. Actually, it's gonna show it on Saturday.
Cool. 4-hour show, like it's great, top to bottom. Like, that's something where, you know,
it's the WrestleMania of Japan. I know you went to the WrestleMania in Lakeland, Florida,
there you
in
go.
Closed circuit.
I was about to say, if I wrestled in Japan, my wrestling name would be Enola Gay.
That's horrible.
That's
horrible. You have to do a powerbomb.
Yeah. First sleeper hold, followed by the powerbomb.
Actually, a little Japanese history there. Japanese wrestling came out
after
World War II. That's when Japanese wrestling started to come. It was Rikido-san. Yep. Went over to America, and he saw how the Americans kind of vented out their frustrations by having all these, you know, they'd have these great American boys beating up on Germans and Italian wrestlers and stuff. And so he did the same thing, and he started
beating up an American.
It was that frustration because they couldn't do anything else to the Americans, so they had them come over as bad guys in Japanese wrestling, and that's where it started out. It was a way to vent their frustrations for after World War II.
Oh, that's great, dude. See, we fit some history in this movie.
The wrestling's got a long, long history.
When did wrestling kind of like...
The first idea of professional wrestling comes from France, actually, about the 1830s, around there. And they had, it was kind of Greco-Roman style. It was, you know, they would go from town to town, and anybody who can last 10 minutes with me would get, you know, 100 francs or something like that. And they would all have big names for themselves. He would be like Andre the Steel Eater, or it would be, they would have these glorious names and everything. And then eventually it started to get spread over Europe.
But it wasn't the dramatic, like the whole thing. It was like actual.
It wasn't the whole drama yet until it comes to America and England. And that's when Hackenschmidt and others, they start to realize that the crowds were getting bored at just watching a straight-up fight. They wanted a little bit more theatrics, so they started getting a little bit more generous with their moves and some big slams going on. And then they started to incorporate, and this is later on with like Tutsman and others, started to... Tutsman is going to be the one who eventually starts the WWF with Kennedy McMahon.
And the
idea was, okay, we'll start putting in signature moves and finishing moves. So by the 1920s, you're starting to see the modern pro wrestling start to form. But yeah, it starts all the way in France in the 1830s. And that's actually when France invades Mexico in 1860. They bring that style over for entertainment, and that's where Lucha Libre starts to form as well.
It's I'm just amazed because we're talking about Wrestle Kingdom, which is the WrestleMania of Japan.
Right.
And then you know, United States has their WrestleMania. Puerto Rico it has their own. I mean, at least at the time, I remember it was the anniversary.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was the WrestleMania of Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
Did Mexico have?
Well, Mexico now does have like Triple Mania for Triple A. You know, CMLL has their own big show. Like the Crash is starting getting big, so they'll probably have a big like, 5-year anniversary show.
PWG has the 3-day
battle. I think every organization has their big show.
Right? Yeah, that's what everything. All the stories should culminate.
Yeah,
and coming out of that, new stories should form.
Do you see LA? It's
we even do it at FSCW. We have our big WrestleManias.
And the indie scenes, is there storylines or is that more?
Honestly, so yes and no, right? So they're
it's hard because
it's hard because a lot of shows don't run enough for people to remember.
Yeah,
right. If you get a monthly show, that runs in the same building is a perfect thing to run a storyline with.
Yeah.
Not every match should have a storyline. You should have some exhibition matches, you know, different variety stuff like that. Like the main event should have the main event or the title or whatever it is that the guys strive for should have something to fight for.
Yeah. Right?
A story behind it. If you run month to month in the same building, absolutely, that could totally be a thing. Especially now with social media, you can do recap videos and you can purchase a projector and at the shows you can remind people what happened last show, had promos, et cetera, et cetera. Some shows don't run enough, right? Some shows run every 3 months, every 4 months. Yes, they do run storylines. But it's hard to keep people interested because I turn around, I really don't remember what I did yesterday.
Yeah.
Right. So imagine if I have to remember what happened to guy A, why is he mad at guy B, and why is this guy bleeding? You know, it's hard.
Yeah. I mean, everything with social media and everything like
all that helps. It helps, but it also
cuts down on the attention span kind of thing.
No, absolutely. Like
people don't want to invest the time.
Absolutely. And I have personal experience. I used to watch, you know, religiously. Monday, Tuesdays, like Raw, SmackDown, every wrestling I can. You know, my schedule's a little bit packed now, so it's a little bit harder to do it. But sometimes I can just wake up Tuesday morning, scroll through my feed, and see all the most important gifts. I'm like, all right, I'm caught up.
Mm-hmm.
Without a single, like, sound bite. It's all just videos and text. All right, cool, I'm done. I already know what happened, right?
Wow.
Right? This is why wrestling is moving towards, you know, all social media. They're putting everything on social media because that's what people are doing now. It's free. Social media is completely free.
Yeah.
For now.
Right.
Everything's free for now. So we just...
Get on it, Trumpy.
So we just... I opened Twitter and, you know, I stayed off social media all morning because I didn't want to get Wrestle Kingdom spoiled. So as soon as I went on Twitter or on Facebook, I'm going to see a picture or... I wasn't answering texts. I wasn't like... until the show's over. Show's over, I'm like... I look up, I'm like, oh, these notifications. Yep. Wow, okay. Which is actually pretty cool because, you know, it's a little... It's less stress, if that makes any sense, not having to check social media at all for 6 hours. But you can get all your information just scrolling for 30 minutes, you know?
Have you ever wanted to do a European tour?
Is that absolutely, yeah. That'd be great.
Like, what's the countries in Europe that are into...
England is big.
England,
Spain's got a nice following.
Spain, for real?
Spain's got a nice following. Okay. Germany's got a good following.
WXW, Germany's really big. You know, they're doing really cool stuff there, yeah.
And Italy's got a little following, too.
India?
So here's the thing. India, there is, I mean, there's so many people that anyone who...
Really? India?
Yeah, right?
Oh.
So anytime they go over, sure, there's a giant following, right? And TNA went over and they had a really successful run recently.
Yeah.
Before that, they had Ring Ka King, which is an offshoot of TNA. It's Jeff Jarrett's deal, but they also had like an amazing following.
Right.
And then Great Khali has an actual school in India, and he's run his shows in domes and stadiums that you just can't count how many people are there.
Yeah, because even if only 1% of the nation follows you, that's still a million people.
It's still
a
million people. Right. It's insane. So there is a following. It's just hard to crack that. There you
go. The country of Liechtenstein is a wrestling ring.
There you go.
Yeah, Liechtenstein is anybody wrestling Liechtenstein?
I think that would be great if someone did a no-holds-barred match in one of those principalities, just all around the principality. That'd be fantastic.
And all
no false host. Count anywhere.
You literally anywhere. Literally you know me in San Marino.
No host bar into Vatican.
Right.
The Vatican. There you go.
Yeah. I'm sure Francis would be down for it.
Just build a cage around the Vatican.
How quick
he looks
would
pretty
those,
cool, right?
Yeah. How cool. quick would those cool. little Swiss guards come out?
That's the lumberjack match. Yeah. They'll throw you back in.
India's insane.
China's starting a thing.
Yeah, China does have a thing.
Nigeria?
Yeah. Power Woody's in jail now, yeah? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, I don't know. About that. What's going to happen?
And yeah, so.
But so Nigeria, no more wrestling in Africa? They don't have.
I mean, I'm assuming there's something. I just, you know, Power Woody used to run, you know, promotion down there.
That guy's famous. That's the whole cold in Africa.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess I heard he was in jail for.
Dominican something. Republic still has a wrestling?
So they. So, yes, they do, actually. They there was, do. There was a A tour recently. There's a couple guys down south that you know are close to have ties to Dominican Republic and do tours back and forth, stuff like that. It's not as big as it used to be. The economy's not as great, right?
What's one country that we would be surprised that they have wrestling?
I don't think anything's surprising now.
No,
has to be one country. North Korea.
No, nothing surprises me after. What is it? One of the Middle Eastern countries now has a female wrestler. And at that point, I'm like, I'm no longer surprised.
Yeah. She got recently signed, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I forgot her name.
Oh, when WWE went out there?
They had tryouts over there, and they signed a girl from there.
Yeah, but was it...
Is she burka'd up?
No, she was a major heel over there because she kept beating the men.
Yes. Yeah.
Really? It was awesome. Great.
That's awesome.
But that's something that WWE does. Yeah. And I get it. And it's cool, but it kind of feels like kind of pandering because when they did the deal with China, they signed a China guy.
No, right. I mean, WWE is literally a global company, right? They need, especially now that. They need demographics. They need people to cater to certain demographics. Yeah. They need their Hispanics. They need everyone, right? Yeah. So I can see them going to different countries and signing people from them because they need
Back Carlito.
Because think about it, they can sign they sign five people from China.
Yeah.
They can hope that one of them gives them a good return. If one of them gives them a good return, all those people are going to tune in because of that one person.
Exactly. They're looking for their Yao Ming.
Yep. I mean, that's one of the reasons for that Mae Young Classic, too, that they were able to kind of feel out.
Yeah, see, yeah.
Everywhere.
No, I like what they do in NXT. It kind of sucks that once they get called up, it gets lost, but that's a whole lot of...
Sometimes they get lost, and sometimes they do well. I mean, it all depends on who you are.
Yeah.
You know, Mary Dobson's doing well for herself. Sarah Logan, she's doing all right for herself, you know. Riot, she's doing well for herself. So it depends who you are. And then sometimes, you get Adam Rose, and then that's
right. Yeah.
Oh, Adam Rose, how fun! How much fun was it when he
and NXT? The shows were great. I mean, he was a lot of fun out there. Yeah,
there's two different animals, like crowd wise.
Let me ask you this: do you feel the small NXT type arena gives a little bit more environment kind of thing than a bigger?
Of course, absolutely. It's a different feel, right? So. It's NXT looks big on TV, but the actual arena itself is not really that big. You know, it's a TV studio.
And you've done NXT a couple times, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to compare this to, like, I did NXT and I did Crash. You know, NXT can only hold a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
Crash.
I think 600
something? Yeah, it's on the bar, right? And then Crash can hold, you know, around 6,000 if the entire arena's full.
Okay.
I had more crowd interaction, more fun doing that small intimate NXT crowd because they're all close to you.
What did you do in NXT?
I had Elias Samson. I had wrestled AOP. And I'm some extra stuff here and there.
Oh, dude, they put you in.
It was fun. It was just,
huge, guys.
Yeah. So, but those, and even the TNA soundstage, right? Even holds a little bit of people, but they're so close to you.
Yeah.
And because it's a show that tapes here once a month.
Yeah.
So the crowd gets to know you,
yeah.
and they like you. And if they don't like you, you switch. You do something, but they'll get to know you intimately.
Yeah.
In an arena, you're not in the same state ever until next year.
Gotcha. Right?
So you're pretty much, unless you're completely new or have something unestablished, and you're sort of restarting every time you go out there, depending on WWE film packages to tell your story and how to tell it, try to get over and stuff like that. When I went to Mexico in front of 5,000 people, yes. So many people. Okay, I'm wrestling for 5,000 people. Great, but I didn't feel that close, that warmth, that connection.
Yeah.
Because you would do something, and then a second later, you'd hear the reaction.
We had to start putting the wheels down. So let me go into rapid question thing here.
Okay, sure.
Fans that you hate the most.
Fans that I hate the most.
Yeah.
The ones that tell me how to wrestle.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I having an opinion is great.
Yeah, that's great.
Having it be like, I can watch a movie and go, I didn't like that. Why? Because of this. But I would never go to Steven Spielberg, hey, you should have done this.
Dude, how could, I'm telling you.
Just like comedy. Just like comedy.
Nah. Nah. I like
you should try this joke.
Yeah, you
like,
should
I take this. I take a lot of pride in my body of work and how I wrestle and how I've trained myself. And when somebody goes, well, you didn't get high on this because of this. I'm like, all right, cool. Want to try it with me or no? All right, no, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right, next. I luckily don't have a lot of those people that they're kind of snarky. Like yeah. a lot of fans that follow me are like really respectful.
Cool.
But I've seen like you go on Twitter and you just see how brutal.
Oh
like,
yeah, yeah.
Not the indie guys. Like a WWE wrestler would tweet something, and how fans are just brutal in their responses, which is crazy.
Keyboard brave.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
Move that scared the shit out of you.
So I once took I've taken something called a reverse Rana. We know how the Rana's fit forward. You know, reverse Rana, you just do a backflip pretty much. To where the guy doing it, I can feel his legs. Like the way to be safe with it is you hold on as if it was a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
You know, those are the straps on your chest. Hold on and just tuck your chin and just cut a backflip.
Yeah.
You know, if you can do it, great. And you land your shoulder on his knee, on the back of his knees, like your heads don't touch. But on the way down, he slipped, right? So I have his ankles here. So when I flip back, I'm like, well, I have nothing protecting me, so I'm either going to be paralyzed or I should probably do something. I remember just putting my hands up here, and it felt like 20 minutes me floating in the air because I was just going through so many things of what could go wrong.
You're thinking what type of chair you want.
Yeah, like, all right, well, how am I going to like, you know, text my girlfriend at the time? Like, my fingers won't work. Like, what's going on? Yeah. And then I landed. I'm like, oh, I'm okay. But it's crazy how you can, at that moment, it's only maybe half a second.
Right.
Yeah. But I see literally my life flashing before my eyes. I'm like, well, I understand what that means now.
Yeah, you don't do that move. Is there a move that you
only
don't...
from certain people? No, I'll take things, but only if I've seen the person do it or I trust them, I'll do it. Right? If it's someone new that I've never seen him do it, I'd rather not, just to be safe.
And looking at your forehead and stuff like that, I see that you don't see any coloring type thing.
So this lovely thing here protects me.
He's not a cutter.
This lovely thing protects my face from getting all sorts of, you know, cuts on my forehead and stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
Not really. You know, bleeding. I understand what blood means to wrestling, especially coming from Puerto Rico.
Do you get this actually made, like, is this made?
Those are Mexican made, yes. All my masks are Mexican made. I do have a backup guy in Poinciana, lives near me who's done stuff for me.
I know in Mexico you can get, like, if you're walking down the street, you can get a wrestling mask for like 5 pesos, whatever. But
100%.
But if you're like, as a wrestler, if you want to get like a real quality mask that's going to hold up on the road, what's on the average?
So these masks cost me 50 American.
Okay.
Right. Which is
it's for, a beautiful
that's
mask.
Really good
for $50. I buy in bulk. I buy like 4 at a time.
Okay.
Right. And I have my drawers, my dressers are just replete of masks.
For some people, it's beer koozies. For you,
there's masks.
Do you teach
yet
with the mask?
No,
that'd be great. So you should see his different outfits and masks. He's like a Liberace every single time. Really? It's a different new thing every time.
Well, I was going to ask, you just mentioned that you have some that you haven't even used. I was going to ask, how long does a mask like normally last?
Well, it depends. So I have, this is, I've had
a
this
Liberace.
There you go.
Liberace.
Nice.
I had this particular one for maybe a year and a half.
Okay.
And it's still in really good condition.
It does look really well.
Yeah. A mask usually lasts me, let's say, on average a year.
Okay.
You know, depending on type of match. Like, I had a hardcore match, you know, 2 weeks ago where that mask is ripped. It's gone now.
Yeah.
Right? The guy ripped it off of me.
Son of a bitch.
Right. But I had the guy in Poinciana make me a new one. You know, L&E Creations made me a new one in half an hour.
Wow.
Which is
the guy's really good with turnaround.
Yeah. He's actually, he's insane. So
How much does a mask? You said 15 pesos?
50 bucks.
50 American. Yeah, in Mexico.
In Mexico.
Only in Mexico.
Yeah,
because
a really good one. Right. Because like I have one that was 5 pesos.
Yeah, it's the just because of the conversion rate, right? It'll cost me 50. I forget, the more intricate, the more
Cost.
You know, I bought one that's 150, but it has It's what we call a presentation mask.
Holy
shit. So it has rhinestones. Yes. Like, I'll never wrestle in that.
You're not supposed to.
But I'll do interviews in that. And if you need a photo, a picture of me, sure, I'll do that
one. A ribbon cutting. Right. Whatever.
But I'll never
that's
ever wrestle in that.
Yeah, that's one of the things. That's way too nice. Yeah. If someone wants to fight you, hold on. Let me
hold on. I got four in the car. I can say, yeah.
That is dope.
That's a story.
What's this? I just showed them the one with the Cobra hood.
We're going to put this. We'll post that.
I posted that one today.
Yeah.
That's the poster for the next Avengers movie.
Can you send that to me? And I'll make sure to post it to the TFT media.
Absolutely, so we'll put that on.
I'll post it in conjunction with this episode. So
that's dope, dude. Yeah. That is. What's the next thing? Are you wrestling anytime local here?
Not locally, no. Like, I don't have a show. I have this weekend. I'm coming up. I'm going to a PWX, do a tournament up there, and then I'm going back to Texas and stuff like that. Locally, so it's really hard to wrestle locally. Yeah. I've been living in Florida for over 10 years, so I pretty much wrestle for everyone here. My next local show isn't down in Miami for Ronin Pro Wrestling named Pebble Pines.
Okay.
You know, and actually, I think, are you going to be there?
I'll be there for that one,
When is that one?
That's in February.
February, you know. Okay. Yeah, Ronin Pro Wrestling.
You want to go?
Sure.
You should. You should.
I've done that thing down there. I've driven down for specific, like, I think I had a
you
show.
You were down for, I think, ICW.
I had a show in Miami, and I stuck for half the show. And I got enough drama of that. What was it? The guy that was, I think his name was Joker or something like that.
Joker, yeah.
Yeah, which I thought was a great gimmick. But then you start hearing all the stories in the background and stuff.
He's a good guy. We're former FSCW tag team champions.
Exactly.
So. What's that? Manix?
Michael Mannix.
You went to ICW.
That's what
I went to.
ICW is the one you went. I took you to. Yeah, Ronan is, I think you would like Ronan.
Is Skeletor in this?
No,
he won't be a Ronin.
Skeletor's my favorite character.
Mine too.
Well, come to SuperCon.
Skeletor and T-Rex.
T-Rex is up there.
T-Rex should definitely get the belt.
T-Rex is actually Leva Bates is T-Rex.
Is it for real?
It's Leva Bates in there.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's Jim Chabert, but mostly it's Leva.
Dude.
You could tell who it is too by the way they come out, because Leva's a little bit more theatrical, so it takes her a little bit longer. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, she's showboating with T-Rex.
I took my kid to that Comic-Con in Miami and Fort Lauderdale, and one of the biggest pops was when that stupid T-Rex came out.
Yep.
That whole place went crazy.
That's not, everyone wants a job to T-Rex too.
Yeah.
They keep asking me, like, hey, can I go under on T-Rex? I'm like, I'll talk to the guy. We'll see.
We'll see what T-Rex wants.
Stuff
like that. Dude, this has been a lot of fun, man. This was classic just talking shop kind of thing. We can do this for, between this and the horror story thing, we can come back
to more wrestling.
We
absolutely
can go to 11, dude. Dude, I appreciate your time coming out here, man. Thank you so much for coming out here. Please check out all our brethren's at PFT Media. Check them out on Facebook. Listen to our show on iTunes, Google Play, and wherever podcasts are sold.
Maybe Spotify by now.
There you go.
Are we on Spotify by now?
Maybe by now. Who knows?
By now. Who knows?
This will surge, maybe.
This one will come out.
If Trumpito hasn't messed up with the broadband thing, I think we're good. let me see what else. Hit us up on email, devilsinthedetailsshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, The Devil's Deets. Rican Gorilla on Twitter. Dan P. Comedy on Twitter.
I am Chris Crespo.
Chris Crespo on Twitter.
At @Lucha_Cruz on the Twitter and Instagram.
We gotta shorten that out. Yeah. Lucha Underground Cruz.
Lucha underscore Cruz.
Ryan still refuses to get Twitter.
I'm on Napster.
You still got that Napster account? Dope. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Waiting on you, Beyonce.
Bitch.
A PFT Media production.